The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When you consider buying a diamond or maybe a piece of jade, you can take that, you can hold it up to the light, you can turn it every which way. You know what you're doing, and I certainly don't. You can look at its texture, color, flaws, and beauty because you want to buy the perfect piece. In our text this morning from Matthew 13, Jesus invites us to take a great treasure, his kingdom, into the light and to look at it from three facets, to inspect it from three points of view. So this morning we look at the kingdom treasure, which is our theme. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. We begin by looking first at a hidden treasure. This hidden treasure is none other than Christ Jesus himself. And we all have a real dire need for this treasure, because by nature, we are lost in our sin and our guilt. Apart from Jesus, we are poverty-stricken, spiritually bankrupt, and broke. Instead of seeking a hidden treasure, we would much rather hide from God because of our sins and failures. God is the one who comes seeking us out, asking that very old question, where are you? Christ Jesus is the treasure, and he offers us the riches of forgiveness. We didn't ask for Jesus. God sent him into this sinful and fallen world. Paul put it this way, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew our need. He sent Jesus to the cross, bearing our sins, our guilt, and all of our failures. And there, Jesus suffered and paid for every last one of them. His Easter resurrection is evidence of the Father's acceptance of the Son's payment on behalf of all people. Christ Jesus is the way back to the Father in heaven. And while Jesus is a hidden treasure, he is also the only treasure which offers and bestows eternal life. This hidden treasure had great value. God gave to the world the best that he had to give when he gave his very only begotten Son. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. When your sins are forgiven, you have life and salvation, and you are spiritually blessed. This treasure is hidden in a field, as Jesus points out in our text. The field is the world in which we live. This treasure, Christ Jesus, the kingdom, is now in the world, our world. He is being made known through the faithful proclamation of the Holy Gospel and the proper administration of the sacraments. The Bible says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as God's children. People cannot find this treasure on their own because it is hidden. The Bible says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Someone has to speak with the person about Jesus Christ and the need which they have for him. And it is through that message the Holy Spirit can work repentance and saving faith. This treasure, even though hidden, was intended for all people. God has no favorites. His desire, as Paul says, is that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is not just any truth, but it is the truth about Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus. Why he came, what he has done, and the wonderful fact that he has redeemed us from sin through his death and resurrection, this kingdom treasure is a singular treasure, which is our second point. Christ Jesus is the pearl of great price. We've come to a point in time here in America, so-called Christianity, where maybe the most important thing that we must be able to do is to defend what we believe, teach, and confess, because the church is under attack. So much of Christendom denies so much of the Bible already. Are they even Christian anymore? Peter put it this way. He said, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. What is the hope that is in us but Christ and him crucified and risen? The very truth of God come in human flesh. That's who we testify of. And we also testify of what he has done. Well, he lived the perfect life when we didn't. He fulfilled the law of God when we couldn't. He suffers and dies as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by becoming sin for us. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil, such that Paul would write that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Our Lord Jesus surpasses all other pearls. There's nothing on this earth that can compare with Jesus. You might have wealth. You might be well educated. You may be successful in whatever you've done in life, but that doesn't equal to what Jesus has done for you, because all those earthly things can be here today and gone tomorrow. All the pearls of the world can be sold or lost. Nothing compares to Christ Jesus. St. Paul put it this way, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Finally, the kingdom treasure is a searching treasure, which is our final point. In and through his word, Christ Jesus is seeking people for his kingdom. Jesus talked about nets. Nets are used to catch and bring fish in. And I must say, I netted every fish that I was responsible when I held the net, and none got away. But you know, just when we thought that we had to seek out the treasure, we've been found by the treasure himself, Jesus Christ. That's how it always works. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. No one can say that they found Jesus. It is always Jesus who finds people. through his word. Christ calls people to believe the gospel. Furthermore, through the preached gospel, when it is proclaimed by the baptized to others, and when it is administered to the sacraments, Christ is at work. His fishing is the mission work of the church in the world. He does that through faithful pastors. He does that through people who are living out their confession of faith in their daily vocations, interacting with the unchurched or the dechurched, talking to them about Jesus, and bringing them here to God's house so they can be catechized in the teachings of God's word. Jesus continues to catch fish of every kind. No one is excluded from the call of the gospel. People of every tribe, race, nation, and language will be gathered at the throne of the marriage feast of the Lamb in heaven. All are welcome because Jesus died for all. John wrote, and he himself is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus' catch or church will ultimately be revealed on the day of judgment. Faith is required. Those who reject what Christ Jesus has done for them will be cast aside. Jesus asked a very pointed question in verse 51. Have you understood all these things? Understanding implies faith and trust, not just mere head knowledge. May our answer always be, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I have been baptized into his death and resurrection. Because Jesus lives, I shall live also. Jesus is not hidden. He is my pearl of great price. Because he found me, I shall be in his kingdom forever. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen.